Hello, PAX West. Thank you for being here. This is Hidden Gems of PAX West. This is lucky number 13. This is our 13th time doing Hidden Gems. And I said that to someone the other day, and they said, oh, you've been doing this for 13 years. I'm like, no, I would be dead. No, this is the 13th, not consecutive, but 13th time we've done this. Welcome. Thank you so much. Glad you're able to find the new panel rooms in the new building. I think we'll quickly talk about that in the slides. It'll definitely come up. If you've never done this before, or done this, if you've never been in the audience of one of these before, what it's about is showcasing smaller games that are on the show floor. Indie devs, we have indie devs up here. Indie devs work hard to be at these shows, and we try to give them a leg up and give them a chance to like highlight them and, you know, go and play the stuff that we show. And if you're watching at home, because this is the first time we're streaming it, Steam has like a sub-genre, almost like a NextFest type thing, where they show all the games that are at PAX. I think it's store.steampower.com/sales/PAX West 2023.
Really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, really memorable. But yes, so we're going to run through a bunch of games to show you, and I am very OCD about making sure I get all the dev names right that are listed in the expo map, and also the booth numbers and all that stuff, so direct you directly where you need to go. But before we get started, I want to introduce myself, and I want the panelists to introduce them, because I've been watching a bunch of panels, and they just let the other panelists introduce them. I've always done that job, that heavy lifting, and I always freak out I'm going to do it wrong. But I am Dylan Alvento. I am the co-founder of Ward Games. Let's start to my left. Folks, introduce yourself.
Well, before I do that, give it up for Dylan Alvento, everybody.
Well, welcome home, as they say.
My name is Harris Foster. I'm the director of communications at Good Trouble, which is a new studio that you haven't heard of yet. And I used to work at a company called Finji, and we made awesome games like Night in the Woods and Tunic and Chicory Colorful Tale. And I'm so dang happy to be here.
Hi, I'm Zolliver Nelson Jr. I've worked on over 80 games in the past 7 years, and you might know me as the creator of Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator, Sunshine Shuffle, the game that definitely does not teach children to gamble. I can say here, we did just make a deal with a school to put the game in the school.
You told me not to tell anybody about that.
So I could do it. The upcoming El Paso Elsewhere. So it is a delight to be here, and I can't wait to share these gems with y'all.
Awesome. Woo! Panelists to the left of me, panelists to my right, introduce yourselves.
Hello. I'm Victoria Tran. I'm the communications director. Director of communications?
It's
They're completely different titles.
I'll trade you.
Are they different? Okay, anyways.
You made the title. You tell me.
Oh. I'm the communications director of Inner Sloth. We make a game called Among Us.
Lay Hidden Gem.
Yeah, perhaps you've heard of it.
I don't know. It's okay. And I'm also an organizer for an organization called Wholesome Games.
Hi, everybody. My name's Josh Boykin. I run a site and community called IntelliGame, where we try to make connections between games and the real world. Think about it like a little bit of English class, a little bit of live stream. I also work as a narrative consultant and designer and all over the place, but really excited to be able to spend some time today.
And I do want to clarify, this is a 13-plus panel, so you are allowed to curse, but no potty talk, please. No intense potty
talk. Except for a little bit of potty talk, Dylan. Hit it, please.
What are you talking about?
So welcome to Harris's bathroom report.
I didn't put this slide
No,
in
you
Harris.
Did not. At the first Hidden Gems I was at, I was struggling to find one more thing to tell people about. And I told people at the PAX South, rest in peace, that there's a secret bathroom you could use, because the bathrooms at PAX South were disgusting. And people came up to me all weekend. They were like, hey, thanks for the tip on the secret bathroom. I'm having the best time at this show now. And honestly, I think it was like the most effective this panel has ever been. And it was for a secret bathroom.
Thanks.
So for my second appearance, I thought I would once again showcase the really big news of bathrooms going on at PAX, and I want to share that thanks to this new building, the bathroom situation rocks. There's so many good bathrooms. Let's give it up. So, like, yeah, I see there's people, like, nodding, like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Immaculate.
Like, I've had no trouble walking right in. There's no lines. They're so clean. They're so modern. So I don't want to take up much more time with this. I just did want to shout out the John Wick bathroom on the fifth floor, which looks like this.
Wow.
It looks so nice. I took this picture this morning after saying several times, I'm going to start taking some pictures in here. And I realized that was not a good thing to say in a bathroom. And yes, the bathrooms here are terrific. Congratulations to the multi-million, billion-dollar organization that built this building on making such terrific bathrooms. That's and without brilliant. Further ado, let's start the Hidden Gem.
Let's talk about actual video games.
Well, we can talk more about bathrooms.
Do that on your own time.
Okay.
We can talk later.
I want to talk about this game called Anton Vlass that I very excitedly saw the corner of my eye yesterday, and I excitedly told it to you, Zolivir. Our cup runneth over with Wario Land 4 inspired video games. Between this and Pizza Tower, it's like I saw it. I saw a guy running, and he was, you know, bull rush type thing.
Shoulder down.
Yeah.
And it is truly a beautiful time to be an angry little man.
Never been a better time in history to be that, right? But it's this, I'm going to be honest, and I normally don't do this. I did not get a chance to get my hands on it. I was excited about it. I saw it. I'm going to need your help, Zolivir, kind of talking back and forth. Have a conversation with me, please.
I'd love to.
What separates this from Wario Land 4? And I'm sorry to keep making that comparison, but it's just an obvious, you know, inspiration for it, like down to the pixel art, the UI, stuff like that. What am I missing?
So the designer of the game has spoken quite a bit on Twitter about how this thing came to be, and that was what attracted my attention, because I love a good platformer, but him speaking specifically, not just the fact that they're doing something that's Wario Land 4 inspired, but the way that those mechanics work together to build a wider experience that is its own thing, not just using your nostalgia, but building something genuinely new, really stood out to me. I've been following the game ever since. So there's Crash Team Racing inspired mechanics in here.
You did tell me that, yes.
What does that mean? I'm so excited.
What it means is I haven't played it, and you should play it so you can tell me.
Wait, hold on. So
wait, that's the opposite of what the
amateur means. No. Are you saying that you read this as a marketing bullet point, said it, but have no idea what it means?
Do you think I have integrity?
What?
What is this panel?
What I'm hearing is that, you know, there is a communications director / director of communications that's really doing
well. Clearly, I did my research. I went into bathrooms and took pictures.
Yeah. Yes. No one else on this panel did that. But yeah.
Don't do that. Isn't that illegal?
It was up the mirrors.
If he says he's taking a picture more than two times and less than five times, I think it's okay.
We're all just otherwise Bloody Mary shows up. Cool, it's the problem.
These are the real hidden gems. These are the lessons.
This is much different than the last hidden gems panel you were on, huh, Brock? It was very
long story short, I did manage to get a tiny bit of my of time with my hands on Anton Vlass, and the momentum of the game is inspired more so by racing games and by other momentum-driven genres than by other platformers. And what it means is that they are, again, doing something really genuinely new in the space.
That's awesome. Yes, right. Definitely check it out. I'm definitely going to take some time to look at it again. Summit Sphere is the dev. That's how you would search for it if you're using like the PAX nav dev. And then that's the booth number. And I have clarified what buildings they're in, because, again, there are two different buildings. There's the Arch building, which is the one we're not in, the Summit building, which was the one we are in. And also, all the booth numbers in Arch are three numbers. All the booth numbers in Summit, this building, is four numbers. Peggy's Farm.
Yes. Okay, so I love games that mash different
full
things
stop.
Together.
End of statement.
I oh, love yes. Games. I just love games. Thank you. You can leave now. So this is basically like a mashup between like a farming game, sort of like relationship stuff, and a pinball game. So basically you can buy seeds, you plant it wherever you want, and those become like the pins for the pinball, and you shoot. Yeah, and every time you hit a plant, you basically water it, and you collect the crops, you buy stuff, you make different structures, and then, yeah, it was very fun. It's like it's in the Summit building. Oh, wait, it says that.
We are in the Summit building.
We are in the Summit building. I'm very aware of where I'm at right now. I think it's super charming. It's, I think, coming to Kickstarter soon, mm-hmm. Which is really nice. So if you want to, you can check that out on Kickstarter. Yeah, and it's one of those things that I just love because it takes something like the farming sim, which I love, and pinballs, which I love, and mashes it together into something that's new and interesting. And I think I'm not sure what the narrative elements are going to be like because they didn't have that as part of the demo, but I highly recommend it.
I do love genre fusions, like,
yes.
I think, like Yoku's Island Express, obviously, mm-hmm. like a pinball slash platformer.
Yeah.
And then, like, do you ever play Atomic Crops? That was also
yes.
like a farming game.
So fun.
It was like a farming game that turns into a shooter because, like, mm-hmm. your plants are ammo and guns and stuff
exactly.
like that.
And you can make your own, like, peggle board with it.
Right. Very cool. Harris.
Yes.
Thank goodness you're here.
Thank you so much. Yes, this is Thank Goodness You're Here. It is at the Panic booth, which Panic you might know for Untitled Goose Game. They produced the Playdate handheld.
Whoop, whoop.
They also are creators of fantastic Mac productivity software. So if you ever need to transfer a big file between two Macintoshes, the company that brought you this photo will help you do that as well.
I use Transmit a lot for FTVing.
Yes.
It's actually really good.
So Thank Goodness You're Here is this excellent animated adventure game where it's also, Zolvir, a great time to be a happy little guy because you are this happy little figure down here in the center, not capable of speech. Your only real controls are a jump, a move, and a slap button. And the B button, if I recall correctly, will just reel his arm back and slap everything possible, and that is how you get through the world as this tiny little guy. And you're always showing up right when people need you, hence the name, Thank Goodness You're Here. So the demo had me as this little guy. Essentially, I believe it starts with, I picked up the controller midway through, but I think it was shortly in, falling from the sky, landing in a garden, then encountering a farmer who, by slapping his hose, it caused it to burst, and then he got all wet, and he was like, actually, that's what I wanted, because I'm weird. And then I jumped down a well, ended up in a butcher shop, all these things, and all these people have the funniest little reactions as they get slapped. And yeah, the dialogue is amazing and charming and British and awesome. It is a wonderful game that I cannot wait for.
Yeah, I'm really like, I don't know if you caught the Panic Direct, I don't know what they called it, their stream announcement, and they seem to be like really increasing the number of games that they're
I think it's
publishing.
Very hard for a game to be funny, and no offense, and it's this one really nails it. I was laughing throughout the whole demo, I imagine the line for this might be long because there's only one demo station for it, but if you have a chance to give it a try, you'll be cracking up. It feels like you're in a Cartoon Network show. It's very beautiful. It looks like this in motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. I tried it out too, and you took it from me, and I was mad, but it's fine.
Was there something that you did in the demo that like made you particularly laugh or something you really liked?
You can't say slapping.
Did you encounter the pie shop where the guy behind the counter had a crush on the delivery girl?
Are you talking about Big Ron's Big Pies?
Yes, I'm talking about Big Ron's Big Pies. The back and forth they had was so awkward and hilarious and teenage, and they were talking about like, oh, I just got a new deodorant and it smells really good. Do you want to smell it? And she was like, oh, maybe, like, maybe I do. And it was just so, because I remember, like, that's all you know. It's just like, oh, I smell like a grown-up now. Does she want to smell it, maybe? And, yeah, it was just so weird and funny. I loved it. Yeah.
It brings you the player fantasy of being needed and wanted, and I think we all need that in 2023.
Yes.
Okay.
Downstairs, this building, on the expo floor. Spirit Swap. Who had Spirit? Ooh. Was that?
That's me.
Okay.
So Spirit Swap is an incredibly rhythmic match three game. And the reason I adore it is because there's a lot of people who say, I will never play a match three game. You might have seen Puzzle Fighter. You might have seen the appeal of something like Puzzle Quest. But you've also seen Candy Crush and a legion of exploitative mobile ads, and you say, I will never play a match three game. And here comes Spirit Swap with incredibly good vibes and beats and these bright colors and an incredible story that it tells, as well as a variety of multiplayer modes, to challenge your idea of what games you've decided you are not going to play. And here comes Spirit Swap just feeling really good in the hands and letting you be a magical creature, matching symbols, and making beautiful lights and sounds happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We mentioned wholesome games earlier.
We did.
We did.
You were listening.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a good moderator.
Wow, look at you.
No. I believe this has been showcased before, like on a whole.
Yes, it has been. It's a lovely game. Fair warning, I backed it on Kickstarter for like a lot of money because I'm very excited about it. So I'm very biased, but I love match three games. I don't know who said they don't want to play match three games, Olivier, but tell me and I will find them.
Oh yeah, I love match three games. Oh,
okay, it's not you, someone else.
Yeah, please don't hurt me. But yeah, the thing about Spirit Swap is you can show this to someone, hopefully, who has decided they won't play a match three game and be like, no, but here's this new sound you've been looking for.
Yes.
And it's true because the beats are great.
And they are new sounds.
Yeah.
They are new sounds. But yeah, no, it's very good. And I'm glad it's on here. And I'm glad they're on the show floor.
Awesome.
You should check it out.
Yeah. So it's in PAX Rising where they showcase a bunch of stuff.
Also just very small note. I've done a little bit of work with some of the folks there, and it's like, one of the things that I really love about it is that the team of developers themselves have put a lot of their own hearts and personal stories into it. So when you see the colors and you see these different characters and you're like, wow, that feels like a little different. The energy here is really, really something I enjoy. Like, that's something that's really coming from the hearts of these folks who are putting this game together. So, definitely. Thank you for calling it out, because I would have felt really awkward calling it out. That would have been weird.
Emberwyn, this is our, I believe, one and only tabletop game.
I believe that's the case. So I like to make things really difficult for myself whenever possible. And so when I got the opportunity to be part of the Hidden Gems panel, I was like, but how hidden? Is it hidden enough? I was trying to think, what are the ways that I can approach this that are a little bit different? And so, boom, I brought in tabletop. This is going to be controversial. My favorite tabletop game is not D&D. Like, literally any game that's not D&D.
And I think you're in a good place to say that.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
And Josh hates D&D. He never wants to... You heard it first.
Send tweet or send X. I don't know. So what I like to look for are systems that give me an opportunity to experience something different at the table. And when I saw Emberwind, I was really excited because the banner said something about it being ADHD and dyslexia friendly. And I was like, wait, what was my question? I forgot already. So the developer of this, I believe they said there had been either a clinical psychologist or clinical therapist for like 16 years. And so they've developed this tabletop RPG system that it's rich, it's robust, it's also loose enough that you can really create whatever kind of world you're looking for, but they also have a science fantasy world that they've constructed. Like, if you buy the system, it comes with everything you need to play, like pre-made characters, maps, tokens, whole nine yards. And for me, I was like, wait, I don't need seven books and a degree in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. So there and a bunch of minis and everything else.
Which are all really cool things, but what I really appreciate are when people are looking for ways to apply outside knowledge and new techniques to things that we already love. So being able to say, hey, do you have a group of friends who are interested in trying something new? Cool. Are you having trouble keeping track of all the different things you need to do in this manual? They print their manual landscape so that they have three print columns, and they can just put a checklist so that you can say, oh, I forgot. I need to do this, this, and this. It's just really simple design things that give me a lot of confidence in the work that they're going to do moving forward. So,
and I also saw that like you can play it solo.
Yes, yes. That which is increasingly, we're seeing a lot of cool solo systems. So, pardon?
Say go mythic.
Oh, yes. So you end up, they basically come with generators so that you can use dice to say, oh, okay, well, this is what the encounter is going to look like. These are the people that are going to show up. It's made to be drop-in, drop-out DM. So you could one week be like, actually, I'd rather play. And you can still adapt all the systems to your needs. It seems really cool, and I just got super excited about it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. There's a whole, if you haven't seen the tabletop area, that's new. I mean, tabletop is not new to PAX, but they have moved it also into this building. It's on its own floor. It's on second floor?
I believe it's on the second.
It's on the, yeah.
This building.
And I think this one in particular is like right near the PAX Arena thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. You might have mentioned this, but how long did your demo last for this?
I read through the source book and talked to the developers. So I wasn't able to get hands on, but I was able to, like I said, go through a lot of the systems, and I've been doing a lot of solo RPG exploration for some work for IntelliGames. So it'll be something I'll be able to take on when I get home, especially because they provide digital resources for free. But
Rad.
Yeah.
Rosen Locket. This is one of mine.
Oh, sweet.
Rosen Locket was a game that caught my eye. Actually, I was doing research one of the nights, I think it was like Friday night. I was like, I need to find more games. And I was scrolling through like the big list on the Steam page, landing page for PAX. And this one caught my eye because of the art. And trying to think of a good way to describe this. Kind of Metroidvania, but like simply in the exploration and 2D nature of it. Kind of bullet hell-y. In the combat, so you play this character. They're kind of like looking like an outlaw. I think there's a lot of religious imagery. Like there's like this disembodied voice talking about sins and stuff. What? That's religious.
Sins and stuff just kind of seems. It's like he's not taking it seriously. Oh yeah.
Very secular cowboy in a religious world. The combat's interesting because it has that kind of radial aiming that you would see in like a more contemporary Metroid, things like that. And you have a bunch of, you have three weapons in your repertoire. You have kind of a 1800s type revolver pistol. And then you have like a repeater rifle. And it has, this isn't the most recent, this in the upper left-hand corner is like their health UI, and I think they've updated it since the screenshot because it looks different in the demo. But it kind of has that Dishonored UI stuff because they do everything at like an angle instead of like an ammo count. It's just like a silhouette of the gun that like depletes when you shoot it. So very stylistic in that way. And the, you know, all the character and background art and stuff like that is also stylistic. But you go into these like arenas and just start engaging with all of these enemies to just start spawning in, and it just gets hectic over time. There's like giant, I think they call them like totem heads or something. It's just giant cyclops heads that just swing around. They're spitting out, you know, bullets at you, and the bullets are as big as a beach ball. And then there's like a bunch of little globby enemies that like chase you around. It's really hard, and I died twice in the same section, and it sets you all the way back to the beginning of the demo every time you die. It's like, okay, platforming, a little bit of combat, platform, big combat, dead. Okay, platforming, a little bit of combat. So it does, it seems like it's based around that kind of unforgiving type of difficulty combat, but I think it really catches the eye. And I'm not familiar with the publisher, Critical Reflex, but they seem to have like a lot of really cool games over there. They have like a rhythm, you know, Crypto the Necro Dancer type game over there, and some other stuff. So yeah, I would definitely go and scope that out if you want. and check this one out.
I'm curious, when you're like walking around the show floor, what makes a game look like particularly gemmy to you? You're like, this is
makes it look gemmy.
This is very gemmy.
It's like it's a handful of things. It's like, what's their booth like? What's it? You know, if something has like a super long line, to me, I'm like, okay, they're getting traction for whatever reason. If it's like, because this, I had to wait behind like one or two people, mm-hmm. and then I was in, and it's like, okay, like, and it's kind of tucked off in the corner. That's also really good advice, is like, always check the periphery of any expo floor, because you'll always find stuff that's like, what is this? It's like, oh, it's just like, you know, a married couple making a game together, and they, you know, bought a booth at the very edge because they tend to be cheaper, you know, the farther from the main drag on the floor. Things like that, like, and then getting your hands on and being like, why is no one playing this? Like, mm-hmm. why is, like, this should be a main attraction? Mm-hmm. And then doing the thing that we're doing right now, showcasing them, and then immediately afterwards doing a little lap and being like, hey, we showcased your game on the panel. And they're like, oh my gosh, we got so many people come because of the panel. That's amazing. So, you know, thankful to everyone that does that, and it really helps these devs out.
I love the booths with the single outward-facing laptop. If it's just like yes. table, laptop, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to play something really unique here. Yeah.
Star Yo. Salvage.
Okay.
Ooh. I have been waiting.
You're about to stand up. Yeah. You're like this.
I accidentally muted myself.
So excited.
I'm so excited about this game. So I was in a panel an hour ago, and in between the time, between that, I also played the demo again because I was like, I just want to try it again. I love, really, again, weird mashup games, and this is a shmup plus Tetris. And a roguelike.
What?
It's awesome. And it has really good music. And I'm really excited. Okay, sorry. I need to pitch this game. I just explained it. Okay, so basically, as you're going through the level, there's little blocks on the screen you can see. So you have to move your ship so that the blocks line up in like a line or a cube. And I'm sure like, as the demo progresses, there's like, oh, there's different shapes. And when you match them, that's when you get the upgrades. So it's ammo, it's shield, it's health. And it's super fun. And basically, if the enemies get too close to you, you can spin. And it'll knock them over. And then if you build your ship a little bit too weird, like I did, if you spin really fast, it knocks off some of the blocks from your ship. So you can rebuild it. It's super fun, and there's like different ship types, and there's you can like different upgrades. It's really fun.
Is this your ship here on like the left center side next to the shield?
I think it's the one I kind of blocked with the lower third.
He unfortunately blocks it off, but at the bottom where the purple line is coming out,
sure,
that's where your that's technically circling. Where your ship is, and yeah, you would build it from there. It's great. I need to leave so I can play it again. I'm sorry, I gotta go. Wow,
that's you have at least one more game to talk about.
Yes, true, it's very good.
You're not free from your obligations just yet.
Oh my god.
I know, it's really fun. Okay.
So tell me about this video game, Harris.
Harris, what are you doing?
I thought I'd stick with the tradition of including one thing that's not a video game, and that is having a cool
beer. You know, the people at home at the stream are really going to appreciate it.
So, well, there's an at-home version of this, too, where you can you can have a cold beer. And for that, there's nothing better than the Voodoo Ranger patio right outside down the escalator on the third floor. And the reason I want to shout this out, apart from the great opportunity to have a cold beer, is to hang out with the folks at Able Gamers who do rad stuff in the industry to bring games to folks who otherwise couldn't play them. They have an awesome little corner booth set up there where they're selling T-shirts and you know pins and things of that nature, and they're also showcasing some of the adaptive controllers they made over the years. They're the nicest people to talk to, and I always want to give them a chance to shout them out, and I thought this would be a really good opportunity to do that. And then, of course, yeah, the main draw is having a cold beer, and I like doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, Able Gamers, always important, accessibility. I mean, obviously, did you mention that when you were talking about...
My studio, accessibility is a key component to the games we're making. And yeah, they are wonderful people to chat that up with. They're an authoritative voice, Able Gamers, that is.
Not Voodoo Ranger?
No, Voodoo Ranger, they don't know anything. I was like trying to ask them about like, how can I hook up this Xbox controller? And they were not interested.
They just kept pouring you beers every time you asked a question.
So is that just outside?
That is
downstairs,
we go out
one floor.
These doors. Yeah, and you go down one escalator. It is towards like the front. If you're right above the front entrance to the building, basically.
So, so this panel is 13 plus. Obviously, you need to be 21 or older to drink.
Yes.
So there's a several year gap of, of someone missing. But what is it in Canada?
It's like 18 or 19 in Canada.
Whoa, that place is so different.
It's like us, but weird.
I don't know about that. It seemed like they got it together.
Zalavir, tell me about the Clam Man. Tell me about the Clam Man.
The Clam Man cinematic universe, we are all familiar with it. But this is a basically solo developer making a game called Clam Man 2 Headliner. It's inspired by games like Disco Elysium, inspired by a lot of the really interesting approaches of tabletop role-playing. And what it says is, what does a RPG look like without combat with more words than a human being should put into a video game? The script is 33% complete, and it is longer than all three Lord of the Rings books.
Ooh.
Because it's accounting for critical successes and failures, and your character, who is a office worker who wants to be a comedian. They're struggling to achieve their dream, and they finally just quit their job, and they decide to go for it. And they're struggling with the intrusive thought of, what do I do with this elevator shaft, huh? Is there a joke here? Is there something more? And you're dealing with your intrusive thoughts, you're talking to people in the world, you're assembling your sets, you're delivering comedy, and that results in a lot of words. It results in a buck wild, deeply variety-filled role-playing experience that isn't like your typical fantasy or sci-fi setting. And you get to assemble a character like nothing you've really seen before. It's Clam Man. It's just Clam Man. Classic Clam Man action.
He's the Clam Man.
What, is there a first Clam Man?
Yeah, and
it would be great if there wasn't. It'd be great if they started with two.
And that's the joke. The first one's actually a point-and-click adventure. And it's kind of interesting because it's pretty short, only like, I think, two or three hours.
Wow, creep.
But when I talked to him down on the floor, part of what he was saying is that this game, kind of inspired by Disco, recognizing that people were interested in something that would have that level of depth, is like, well, why don't we just like change the genre and like go in? And it sounds like they went super, super in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game with a lot of really interesting, terrifying narrative decisions in it that they commit to 100%.
I think you just answered the question I was about to ask, which is, you know, comedy being his driving motivation, but I wouldn't suspect this is a lighthearted game. It seems pretty dark, would you say?
I would say that it manages to, like the best comedy, mix trauma with humor.
Okay.
That's what they say stand-up comedy is for, free therapy.
I mean, what have the panelists on this panel been doing for the past, like, half hour?
I've been showcasing games. I don't know what you've been doing. Project Dark. Josh, you suggested this, and I immediately recognized it once I started Googling images for it. Tell me about it.
Fantastic. Which would be interesting, because there are not that many images to Google. Project Dark is a anthology of visual free games. So you're basically it's like an audiobook, except you get to, you know, you've got your sort of choose your own adventure. Oh, that's TM'd. It's copywritten. Choose your own
direction, story picker. One of them.
Excitement. What I really enjoy about Project Dark is that I am always on the lookout for ways to bring games to more people. And this, instead of there's another game called The Veil, which is an RPG, and it's like got combat and stats and the whole nine yards, and it's really good. What this does, though, is instead of giving you one big game, it's an anthology of like 6 20-to-30-minute stories, and so it creates this platform that I think other people can start to see examples of, like, oh, this is a way that I could put together stories that are really engaging, entertaining, but also like You can just put it on a phone. You could listen to it while you're on a walk or on a run, not while driving. Don't use your cell phones when driving. And so they had me try out a sort of medieval fantasy adventure, which I thought was all right, but I switched over to another one that had this like sort of deep sea underwater thriller feel to it. And that was the one that was really exciting to me because it's, you know, it's fully voice acted. It's got environmental sounds. You're making choices as to what's going to happen in the narrative. You've got specific characters. It gave me a lot of excitement, not just for what's probably in those six stories already, but what's potentially to come. And it's also on mobile and PC, so it's really accessible.
So the one that's in the screenshot, I'm sorry if you can't see the computer, that's, I remember seeing this on some stream, game stream somewhere, for some event. But like this one is like an exploratory, almost like a walking sim type of thing, but
yeah.
It like has like echolocation type, like you can only see the world around you every once in a while or something. Do
mm-hmm.
I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that one cool?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're asking me. No, I didn't try all six stories.
Okay.
I only did the two.
Yeah. This is the one I recognize. So I was curious. I actually didn't know it was an anthology. So I thought this was the game, but that's cool that there's multiple different ones.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that there will be more to come. You know, I think The Veil really got me excited for this idea of, again, making these stories and Project Dark. I was like, oh, wait a second. Like this is, yeah. Anyway, I've already said
cool.
it. I don't need
cool.
to say it again.
Yeah. Check it out. Yeah. Beastie Ball.
Yeah.
Oh, people are cheering in the crowd. They already heard about it. We can skip this one. Beastie Ball. Harris? No, I shouldn't ask you about it. I was going to be like, do you like Pokemon? No, you don't like Pokemon.
I'm Victoria.
I love Pokemon.
You love Pokemon?
I love Pokemon.
Do you like sports?
No. Yes, I do.
Oh, pick me.
Zolvir. Do you like Pokemon?
I do like Pokemon.
Do you like sports?
I do like sports.
Okay. Do you like watching those animals get concussed in the head because they have to catch a volleyball?
Can I legally answer that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Then I decline to comment on the behalf of my lawyer.
I wish to exercise my Fifth Amendment right to. In all seriousness, Beastie Ball, if you're not familiar with it, it comes from Wishes Unlimited, which is the new studio, Greg Lobanov. We talked about Chicory earlier. Previous game was Chicory, also worked on Wandersong. Obviously, there's other collaborators involved. It is Pokemon that be playing volleyball.
Yes.
But also, the Pokemon playing volleyball, there's also Mega Man Battle Network in it, something. Mm. So, I mean, I'm sure most people, even if you haven't played Pokemon, you understand the idea of a turn-based RPG. Like, you take a turn, you do something, usually attack, because why would you waste a turn doing anything defensive? You attack, and then the other person, they attack, or do something. But in this, you can only attack when the ball's on your side of the field. So you can only attack every other turn because the ball is basically the weapon that you're using to attack. So you attack, and then the next time it's your turn, you have to defend. And so you have to do something. And there's some positioning aspect to it. The systems are deep because I was like, okay, I just got to knock out the other team. And then I positioned my beasties in such a way that the ball just landed and the other side got a point. I was like, oh, there's actual volleyball here too. It's like, it's not just like me having to knock out the other players. But yeah, like, you know, custom collectible animals, you walk around, you're like their coach. You're training them to play volleyball. Very sweet, very lighthearted. It obviously takes a lot of cues from Pokemon, even like the anime, where, you know, the parts where at the very beginning of the Pokemon anime, Ash is watching like the Elite Four, like the Pokemon Championships on the TV. They do that in this, where it's like you have a battle, or, you know, you play volleyball with another player, and you want to go back to my house and we can watch the game. And then there's like a cutscene of you like watching on like an old CRT, the national champions doing the thing.
Yeah, I hope that makes it into the full game, because it seemed like a really neat way to get a demo like flowing. It was like a nice like cut to like the
yes.
future a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, we're now back in front of the TV. Oh, remember when this happened? And cut back to like the gameplay. It was, I've never seen a demo flow like that so well. And yeah, I hope that is a staple for the full game, because it's a really neat way to progress time.
And like I said, there's a lot of depth to the actual like combat, playing the game stuff that I think you don't have enough time in that demo to get.
So every Pokemon has unique moves. Do beasties operate the same
way? They do, and they also have types. And what I really appreciate is that they really avoid like the very standard like water, electric, fire. It's like mind, body, strength, I think.
Live, laugh.
Yes, exactly.
Love.
And they... But there's also that Rochambeau, you know, weapons triangle, you know, this type is probably better against this type, or the, you know, their types determine what kind of moves they do. A strength one is more about hitting the ball back, whereas a mind one's more about like healing teammates or being support or doing things like that.
And am I right in seeing that it also allows you to kind of choose how your entire battle resolves, because you can become best friends or you can become like in love with the other beastie?
That's only on your team. The more your beasties play with one another, I guess that is their solution to evolution, evolving the creatures, is that they like, oh, they've worked together for multiple fights, games, they're now like best friends, and they like do a high five at the end of the thing instead
that's
of
so cute
an evolutionary evolving cutscene. But yeah, it's really cool. If you like Greg and Co's other stuff, definitely check it out. And this is one of the few ones that's in the Arch building, so you gotta walk across the street to get to this one.
It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This is another panic one.
So I was panicking because I'm really bad at this game. Good segue, me. Anyways. Sorry. So... Don't laugh. How dare you? So it's basically a game where I don't know what you call it, and I probably should have looked it up. But you know when you move, the enemy only moves when you move.
What is that?
I don't think we have
a simultaneous turn-based game.
Yeah.
A super hot. I like that.
Yes.
It's a super hot.
It's a super hot.
Is that one of them super hots?
One of them super hots.
Oh, that's funny.
Good.
That was.
A member of the audience said it was super dry. Yeah.
Because it's Destiny. Oh, I thought you were trying to talk shit about the game. This game doesn't seem too. I don't know about this one. Okay, all right.
We're making jokes about temperature. That's the stage of the panel that we're at now.
Yeah.
The panel's cooling off.
So, wait, who's moving at the same time? Are you one of these camel riders?
Yeah. So there's llamas in the game. Anyways, so it's an anti-colonialization game. But essentially, so it's a real, it's like a super hot.
Super hot, like.
Yeah, but it's nice because, so basically as you attack, or you can plan your attack and then you can see what your enemy is planning to do. And you can either choose to dodge, you can choose to... fight, you can choose to run away, and you basically have like magia points, which is almost like mana and like the kinds of things that you can do. And it's really interesting because it feels like playing like 4D chess or something. You can like see like what the enemy's going to do. You can plan out what you're going to do. And the reason I'm really bad at it is like I'm really confident that I'm like I can pull this off, and then it just hits me and I die instantly. So I was like dying during the tutorial, and I think the dev was watching me. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm trying my best. It's a difficult game, but it's honestly gorgeous. It is really cute. I think in the trailer, because I saw the panic trailer for it, it's a lovely environment, and I want to say more, but I want you to go see it for yourself, because it's quite lovely. Did you play it, Harris, while you were at the panic booth?
No, I was bouncing around so much that I saw it and made note of it, but didn't have a chance to play it. I was going to ask, though, did you get a sense of like the overall kind of narrative, the surrounding narrative? Or?
I didn't really, but that was also because I was talking to the dev as I was playing, sure. So I didn't really get a sense of it. But
it looks beautiful, and like it's surrounded in this like mystery of why, what are these big arches, what's going on. So I'm mm-hmm. That intrigues me greatly. I'm gonna definitely check this out before the weekend's up.
Those are ribs.
Oh
yeah,
well, big animal.
I mean, the arches could be ribs. I mean, ribs can be arches. Ribs are arches.
Ribs or body art?
We're moving on. Shot one.
Shot one.
I'm so curious how you're going to describe this.
Are you really curious how I'm going to describe this?
Yeah.
Who's heard of Windjammers?
Yeah.
Those are the coolest people. You need to chat with them later. Windjammers is an incredible Neo Geo game, the Neo Geo arcade machine. Windjammers is basically extremely fast frisbee tennis pong. You play, I'm talking about Windjammers right now. You play as two buff beach people who are throwing frisbees back and forth between each other, trying to score in the net behind the other one. So you are dashing around, dodging, grabbing the frisbee, throwing it back. It is so fun and fast-paced and quite honestly the best local multiplayer game I've ever played. And this is that remade, reimagined modern times. There have been a lot of modern Windjammers reimaginings, and having played this one, I can put this in the list of I will play it again, so I have decided to include it on our list here.
Yeah, I'm very curious how that we played a match.
Yes.
I won. I'm very curious how the online will work, because they do have online support.
Yes.
And I think, you know, someone mentioned Windjammers 2, and, like, obviously Windjammers 2 exists now.
Yes.
Difficult to play that online for a bevy of reasons.
Sure. Windjammers is best enjoyed locally, not just for the latency, but because it really invites a competitive spirit. You and I have played a few competitive games so far this weekend, and this felt really good to, like, sit next to you and talk trash and get into it.
Made up for my Tekken 8 loss.
Yes, yeah. We got to have one more competition before this is all over. So if you guys know any good...
So if you want to, like, cheer for us to determine who's the better panelist, that'll be... No.
So one of the neat things about Shot 1 is the character designs in it are really cool. They have these awesome... So in something like a Windjammers, you can do a super move. Technology at the time limited it just to, like, a simple animation. But in this, the characters will, like, jump out of the... arena and, like, do a flashy little pose before returning and doing their super, and it's this really neat, like, transition from real-time gameplay to this, like, classic-looking pre-rendered, like, a little bit fuzzy but bigger model that you might remember from the PS1, and it looks awesome, and I love it, and yeah, it feels good to play. It's nailing that Windjammers feel, and as a big fan of the series, I recommend it, and if this is how you get into the Windjammers likes, I think you're going to have a great time with it.
The Windjammers cinematic universe.
Yes. Also, it's being developed in Austin, Texas, and that's where I'm from. So that's cool. Shout out to Austin.
Shout out to ATX.
Tacos.
Treachery and Beatdown City. This is one of yours, right, Oliver?
Yes, it is. So much like Victoria, one of my great passions is fascinating genre mashups, whether it's a point-and-click adventure with a highly maximal RPG or a match three game with rhythm and beats. In Treachery and Beatdown City's case, they mixed a classic beat-em-up with a tactical RPG. So as you're fighting in a Streets of Rage-style combat, you hit a button, the camera zooms in, and suddenly you're queuing up your moves to do a combo on a dude and suplex him, and then you regain fight points from that, and then you can use that into a grab move on another dude. The tactical nature of it, the rhythm and back and forth of a fight, the fact that, unlike in a lot of games in either the tactics or the beat-em-up genre, even if you're low on health, you still have and feel like you have the extremely present option to pull victory from the jaws of defeat. Treachery and Beatdown City is one of my favorite games ever, and what's happening is that I think within the next week or so, the developer of the game, Sean Alexander Allen, is releasing the sequel to the game as an update to the original game, tripling the size of the project as a free update. And it's already on Nintendo Switch. And
more
it's
words
on
than Lord of the Rings.
You're losing money not buying this right now.
Absolutely. There's a negative number in your bank account, and you got to fix it by buying Treachery and Beatdown City.
Wait.
Like, it's...
We've suggested some uncomfortable things.
You are overcharged because you haven't played Treachery and Beatdown City yet. But, like, seriously, this dev, the things that they are doing, I would not recommend a human being do. For 3 weeks... they have been building a PAX West exclusive demo where the entire setup of the game is that Blake Orama, Obama has been kidnapped by ninjas and you have to get him back. In this game that the developer spent 3 weeks developing just for PAX West and is going to be releasing afterwards, you play as Blake Orama and go through an entire prequel sequence in which you are kidnapped by ninjas and fight back. The game is beautiful. It sounds amazing. It's for the culture, and it's one of my favorite things I've played in years, and it's about to get way, way bigger very soon. So,
awesome.
Treachery and Beatdown City.
Awesome. World of Horror. So, I walk by... I'm sorry. How do you pronounce the studio's name?
Pardon?
Yeastbrid?
Yeastbrid? Oh, the R before the Y trips me up.
Yeah, I think it's like Yeastbrid.
Okay, yeah, Yeastbrid. Yeah. I walk by this booth all the time, and I'm always intimidated by it. And... the screenshots I found for this game while looking for a screenshot did not help with that problem I have.
So, and that's why I picked it, actually. So, World of Horror, you notice it looks a little different than many of the other games you've seen over the course of the showcase. When I first found out about World of Horror, I was like, there's no way in the world I'm going to play this game. Any Junji Ito fans in the audience?
Woo!
Yeah,
I corralled him over there for something.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a fan conceptually, but my stomach doesn't like. So it's a kind of creepy, you know, very like universe level horror, cosmic horror. What's Lovecraft type deal,
yeah.
Right? But what I really loved about
Eldritch.
World of Horror when I
I said Eldritch. I was trying to remember.
Yes, Eldritch. Yes, yes. But then I tried it, and what I ended up loving about it is that it's really like narrative focused. A lot of its horror is like the pictures are very, very. Some of them are very creepy, but like the horror is really in the story. So it's these setups of like you're getting started. You go to the school. You have to explore the school. Do you go, and it's got this sort of like roguelike style to it. So every time you play around, you're gaining more information about what's happening in this town. And so I thought that it would be just kind of like gross and graphic. And I was like, ah, that's not going to be my jam. And next thing I know, I'm playing it for like hours just because the writing is really compelling and the mystery and the horror is in my mind. I think that it's particularly that contrast between the feeling of there's no way in the world I'm going to want to spend time here. Even though I like ish horror games, this really was my stuff. So if you are about that sort of like theater of the mind, cosmic horror, there is some like graphic content in there. If you're the 13 and the 13 plus in the audience, I might be some caution.
If you're the one that can get in this panel but can't get into the Voodoo Ranger thing, you can't.
Correct. Yeah.
I would also say it's an anthology as well, which is why they call it World of Horror. So you can maybe even find a game which your 13-year-old can play inside of World of Horror, although it's unlikely.
Does it play poker?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cool. Yes. Awesome. I think that is our last game that we have on the showcase here. I do want to take some time to showcase everything the panelists are doing, because there's a lot. But, yes, let's see what our panelists are up to. I think I'm starting with Harris. Harris, yeah. Good Trouble.
Yes.
Also, we all know the misery that is Twitter/X.com right now. So I just rolled the dice with your ads, because I know all your Twitter ads, but if we've been scattered to the wind, please correct.
I don't think you can't call it X. You have to call it X.
Like, X. So yeah, hey, I'm Harris. This @harris.zone is for Blue Sky. That's the social... One Blue Sky fan. Love it. That's the social media I'm using these days. We're scattered in the wind. If you go open your browser and type harris.zone, you'll find me there. I'm at Good Trouble Games. We're making a awesome accessible game that is coming soon. And then in the meantime, if you want something that resembles social media and you want to have a fun experience, I recommend you join the Discord server I made called the Ultimate Social Media Platform, which is a Discord server in which there are three allowed phrases: hello, how are you, and good. And if you type anything other than those three things, you are instantly banned. And so you can open your browser and type in TUSMP.com, the Ultimate Social Media Platform.com, and we'll see you in there. And hopefully you don't get banned, because I did.
I also got banned.
Yeah, Zolvier got banned.
I'm still staying strong in there, buddy. So Among Us is a very small indie game no one knows of. Victoria, you have a booth.
We do. It's our first ever booth.
You can buy pins, you can buy plushies, you can buy a disturbingly long crewmate.
We sold out of those.
Oh, you cannot buy the disturbingly long plushies. Long,
yeah, and we have a physical card swipe machine if you played that task in the game. Please play it. It was really expensive. like, it was really, really, I was like, oh no, I feel bad now, like, asking for this. But yeah, so I work on a game called Among Us. Things are coming to it, and I can't say what they are, but maybe keep an eye out, please, because my job depends on it, too. So keep an eye out for it.
If V-Tran is that, do you still do the X?
No, well, yeah, well, so okay. My job is to be on social media, so I'm technically on all of the social medias. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter, because I don't want to call it anything else, the V-Tran. I'm also on Blue Sky, and I think that's at Victoria Tran, because I claim that. And yeah, you can find us in the Arch Building, like right as you walk in, drop by. It's a cool time. Innersloth.com. And yeah, this is a really, wow, I'm terrible at pitching this, aren't I? yeah, drop
You by. Did everything right. That was great.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Director of Communications Director.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Josh, IntelliGame, also your consulting business. You want to tell us about a little bit about both?
Yes. So primarily I work on IntelliGame. It's a community where we learn about ourselves through the games we play. Primarily go through live streams and try to take time to individually talk about the narrative, the themes, the ways that we can learn about ourselves. We just finished Control. Spoiler alert to any IntelliGamers watching, next game is probably Alan Wake Remastered. So good votes, y'all.
The better Remedy game.
Whoa.
I could do another hour. I could do another hour just on Control. I won't. But yeah, if that's the kind of content that you're into, or just being part of a community that is willing to have those discussions, I totally encourage you to come by. That Antella.game is the main site, and CritSave Consulting is what I do if you need help with writing, editing, narrative, and it's not just games, it's books, it's all kinds of, oh wow, that's louder. And then, last but not least, at Wallstormer, most places, this one is Twitter/X. you can't just call it X, it gives it too much credibility.
Yeah. I don't want to call it X. Zalavir has a game coming out soon.
Yeah, I sure do.
And it's good.
So stoked about it. Those last couple weeks up to release, the best part of game development.
So I've been telling people this throughout the show. I'm really good at making sure that I'm sane and supportive of the rest of the team up until the last 2 months of development, in which I lose my Mick-fucking mind. And I then tell
that
them...
That was worth the 13+, just by itself.
And at that point, I need them to be stabilizers to me and help us, and together work to choose the right solutions to prioritize quality as well as overall team health and, like, what matters about changing this game at this point. El Paso Elsewhere is a Max Payne spiritual successor coming out September 26th, where you play as a vampire hunter going into a haunted motel in El Paso, Texas to kill the monster you loved before she ends the world. And it's like over 40 minutes of fully animated 3D cinematic cutscenes, fully voiced, like 7-8 hour game. I talked earlier about decisions developers shouldn't make. I shouldn't have made this game, but I have, and I'm incredibly proud of it, and that's the next big thing that my studio Strange Scale is releasing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give a round of applause for Zalavir Nelson. And he didn't even mention the full soundtrack with original, like, music and all that awesome stuff. It's
original rap album. We thought that, you know, why don't we just make an entire rap album and a game at the same time? That'll be easy, right?
It's the best video game rap music since Pumpkin Hill.
I can't live up to that. Don't say that.
That is our panel. That is Hidden Gems. I just want to say, obviously, we threw a lot of games at you. Hopefully, you're able to write some down. Maybe go check them out. I will be tweeting this out. Unfortunately, I am exhausted, so I'll probably tweet out the full list tomorrow. So if you are around on the show floor tomorrow, you can check that out. You can go to all of these. I put them all under my studio stuff, Ward Games, Ward Video Games on Twitter, X, hashtag PAX Hidden Gems. This panel is being recorded for audio and putting up on a podcast feed. There's also a VOD of the stream. I have a game that we're going to announce probably next week instead. I was trying to get it.
So close.
Congratulations.
Well, it's not like coming out, but I mean, like, we're announcing that we're working on something.
And I actually know about this one. It's really cool.
Yeah, so if you like if you like language translation like Tunic or Fez plus puzzle stuff like...
You didn't tell me about this earlier? Why didn't you?
I'm telling it to you right now.
Thanks for coming to the panel, everybody.
Thank you
for coming. Support video games. Hidden Gems. Support your indies, folks.